Well, good morning. It's good to see you as we celebrate the Christmas season. And with things being a little different, our Christmas traditions are a tad different, but I encourage you, there's still things going on. And I know this Saturday we have a children's activity. And then on Christmas Eve, we're going to have three Christmas Eve services at 2:30, at 4, and at 5:15. And so we trust that you will be here for those. And as we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, there's also cards that you can take and pass out to someone around you. And we will have, I believe, the 4 and the 5:15 services will be live streamed also. So for those of you who are watching online, I trust that you will take a part also as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're beginning to look at some Christmas journeys. The Christmas story was filled with journeys of different people as God miraculously worked the plan of Christmas and the coming of the Messiah together. Let's pray and ask for God's blessing. Father, as we come before you, may we be encouraged in Jesus Christ, recognizing our hope comes in you and you alone. And as we celebrate Christmas, may it not just be a story, but may it be an understanding of what it means to have relationship with you and the incredible forgiveness of sins that's possible only through you sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth to die for our sins. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you've probably been involved at some time in a gift exchange. You know, you pick out names, sometimes they call it, you know, your secret Santa, and wherever you're working, your work may do that. And well, at our staff, we have a gift exchange each year. And so this week, we picked our names for the gift exchange, and with the different people involved, we had 10 names. And so we picked, and five of us were there when we had the names up in the office. And so we each picked a name. And so we started, and we did it at the beginning of our staff, or at the end of our staff meeting. And so the first person picked their name that they were supposed to buy this gift for. And by the way, if you're keeping score, that was Jezer that did it first. He always likes to be first. So Jezer picked a name, and then we passed it around, and the next person picked and opened it up, and it was their own name. So it passed on to the next one, but they put it in, and the next person picked a name, and it was their own name. And the next person, they put it back in. The next person picked a name. It was their own name. Five of us. All five of us picked our own name. Now, Ben, who's part of our staff, was a math teacher. And so we stopped everything else and figured out the odds. Now, Jezer was a little selfish, so he didn't put his name back in right away. So he had 1 out of 10 chance. The rest of us had 1 out of 9 chance. So the possibility of what we did happening was 1 in 68,610. So, what do you do next? We all went down and bought lottery tickets. No, we didn't do that, but we maybe should have. We wouldn't have had to worry about budget next year, right? But the amazing coincidence that we would all pick our own names, 65,610. But you know, the amazing miracles of Christmas as God wove his plan together, it's much, much more amazing in that. As we see God revealing his plan, and as Jesus miraculously came to earth, and the prophecies that were all fulfilled show us the amazing work of God. Now, the book of Malachi is the final book of the Old Testament. And in the book of Malachi, it talked about some judgment, some discipline over the disobedience of the Jews. But it also shared hope, as did the rest of the Old Testament. But as the final book of the Old Testament, they saw the hope that even though things seemed bleak, that God was still at work. And even though they may not have seen him at work, they could recognize, or should have recognized, that he was. And in Malachi chapter 3, not only do we have the hope of the Messiah, but it shares one of the prophecies about this forerunner of the Messiah. We know him as John the Baptist, is the nickname we give him. His name is John. But after Malachi, we see 400 years of silence, a time when it seems like God was distant. And the people of Israel were discouraged. And they were wondering, was God really at work? They waited impatiently and they questioned God. But in Luke chapter 1, as the 400 silent years ended, we're introduced to this couple. Their names were Zacharias and Elizabeth. Now, Zacharias was a priest. His wife, Elizabeth, also came from the tribe of Levi, the tribe of priests. And so we see the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth, and their story is shared for us in Luke chapter 1. And as the story begins, these two people, Zacharias and Elizabeth, we could say that they were godly but grieving. And we find that in verses 5 through 7 of Luke chapter 1. Beginning in verse 5, it says this: "There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years." Now, these two had demonstrated incredible character. They were known for their godliness over a long period of time. It says in there in verse 6 that they were righteous and they were blameless. In other words, they were obedient to God. They weren't perfect, but they were godly in their life. But they also had a life that was filled with grief. For years they had desired a child, but their desire for a family had not been fulfilled. Now, in that culture, to be childless was seen as a curse. And I'm sure while God's word deemed that they were righteous people, they were followers of God, they strove to be able to honor God in the way that they lived, I'm sure there were whispers around saying, I wonder what they did. I wonder why God's angry with them. But through all of that, they still continued to live godly lives. And God was choosing them, although they had no clue. God was choosing them for an amazing part of his miraculous story. And we go on in verse 8 and following, and we find that Zacharias was given a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. As a priest, Zacharias, with as well as all the other priests, were part of a rotation of divisions that would serve in the temple. And I believe there were 24 different divisions. And so they would serve in their own communities, but two times a year, for a week each time, they would go and serve in the temple in Jerusalem. And so Zacharias was part of this rotation, and so 2 1-week periods each year, he would go to serve in the temple, his journey to the temple. And so he left Hebron, his hometown, and he would spend time there at the temple in Jerusalem. And we see an amazing opportunity that he was given in verses 8 through 10 of Luke chapter 1. It says, "So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense." So while he was serving one of his times in the temple, he was the one who was chosen to burn incense. Now this was an amazing opportunity, and a priest would only be, if they were ever chosen, it would be one time, and then they would not be chosen again for the rest of their life. So this was an amazing opportunity. Now, for those of you who are hunters, picture trying to draw the big bull elk tag in section 380. Some of you have been trying to do that for years and years, and you've never been chosen. Or if you've been chosen, you probably recognize that you probably won't be chosen again. But here is Zacharias, and he is chosen for this amazing, it's probably the highest honor a priest, other than the high priest, who would go into the Holy of Holies once a year. But for the other priests, this was, in many ways, could be considered the highest honor that they had. And Zacharias was chosen to go into the holy place to burn incense on the altar of incense as people gathered around and prayed outside the temple. I can imagine the awe that Zacharias felt as he performed that special duty. And as the people gathered outside to lift up their prayers, and as he burned that incense, a picture of the prayers going up. It was a symbol of the prayers going up to the throne of God. And as those people outside crying out their desires and their requests before Almighty God, and here he is in the holy place, right next to the entrance of the Holy of Holies, performing this amazing responsibility. But as he was doing that, something even more amazing happened. We see that he had an angelic message that was delivered to him. Beginning in verse 11, it says, "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth.'" So here he is, he's burning the incense here at the altar of incense, and an angel shows up. A little later on, we find out that it was actually the archangel Gabriel that showed up. And Zacharias did what we would all do. He feared as the angel appeared. Gabriel calmed him and shared the miraculous announcement that their prayers, the prayers that he and his wife Elizabeth had been praying for so many years, were going to be answered, and they were going to have a son. In the next verses, we see the amazing character and ministry that John was going to have as the forerunner of the Messiah. But we see Zacharias' response. It was a response of doubting and the, what happened because of that response in the next verses, doubting and speechless. Beginning in verse 18, it says, "And Zacharias said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years.' And the angel answered and said to him, 'I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time.' And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them, and he remained speechless." So how did Zacharias respond? Now, remember, Zacharias was a godly man. I mean, those verses, verse 6 says how he was righteous and he was blameless, obedient to God. But how did he respond? He responded with doubt. For years, he and his wife had prayed that God would give them a child, but now they were old and their time for having a family had passed. Now, got to give Zacharias credit here. He did do one thing wise in his response. I don't know if you caught this or not. As he responded to Gabriel, he said, "I am old, and my wife is advanced in years." I don't know if he thought she might have been listening in, even though she wasn't anywhere near, but at least he got that part right. But the other part, he missed completely. He doubted God. But you know, we can have that same struggle, can't we? We strive to follow God. Maybe you're here this morning and you're striving to do right and to honor God with your life, but there's something that just, you can't see God at work. And you question, is he distant? Does he even care? You know, I wonder how Zacharias and Elizabeth's prayer time had gone as the years went by and they prayed for a child. You know, Gabriel said, your prayers have been answered, but I'm wondering if in Zacharias's mind he said, you know, we're probably not as faithful as we used to be in that prayer because we just don't think God's active. I don't know. But we've all been in that place, haven't we? We've prayed, say, God, work in this area, and we don't see him at work. And we wonder. And that's exactly what Zacharias, and I'm sure Elizabeth also, were doing. So Zacharias doubted. And so Gabriel had to give Zacharias a reminder. And I love how he says it's, "I'm Gabriel. I'm the one who stands in the presence of God. And just so you can recognize God's power, it's going to happen. You're going to have a son, but you're not going to be able to speak until that son has been born." So he comes outside, and the people are wondering, what's going on? Where is he? And I'm sure some of them, in their mind, were wondering, okay, you know, if a priest performed, now we know the high priest, when they went into the Holy of Holies, they had all of these things that they needed to do before they went in, and they would tie a rope, basically, to them, because if they came into that presence of God in the Holy of Holies, and they weren't clean, they would immediately die, and nobody could go in to get them out, so they could pull them out by the rope. But I'm wondering if the people outside were saying, well, maybe Zacharias went into, now he didn't go into the Holy of Holies, but maybe there in the holy place that his sin was exposed and God chose to just kill him right there. Maybe something else happened to him. Why isn't he coming out? So he comes out and he begins the game of charades. Because the priest, when they came out, they were supposed to share a blessing with the people. That was part of the responsibility of that priest that had the honor of going and burning incense there in the holy place on the altar of incense. And so he was supposed to come out and bless the people from God. But he couldn't share the blessing because he couldn't speak. And so he starts charades to be able to try to let them know what had happened. And they figured out he must have seen a vision. But then the next verses we see that the unfolding of God's plan and the miracle and the blessing for Zacharias and Elizabeth is revealed in verses 23 through 25, the miracle of hope. Verse 23 begins, "So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, his week's time there, that he departed to his own house. Now after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, 'Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people.'" Zacharias fulfilled the rest of his service, journeyed back to Hebron to his wife, and miraculously, Elizabeth became pregnant and rejoiced in the miracle of God. I think it's interesting to see that she hid herself for 5 months. Doesn't say why she did that, but I have an idea. I think trying to tell people, "Guess what, I'm pregnant," and they're like, "No way." Finally, after 5 months, I'm sure she began to show enough where people would say, "Okay, we believe you." But whatever, we see her rejoicing that the God that had seemed so distant was really working all the time, and they were going to be part of God's miraculous plan for the coming of the Messiah and the saving of the world. So each week as we look at different journeys in the Christmas story, we can learn a lesson from these journeys. What's the lesson we can learn from the journey to the temple as Zacharias went and found out the amazing news that he and his wife were going to be part of the plan and the parents of the forerunner of the Messiah that had been promised in the Old Testament? What's the lesson? The lesson is that while we may feel hopeless and fearful, God is still at work. They were faithful stewards and servants of God, but they must have felt that God was distant. And they, along with the rest of Israel, had to wonder about this promised Messiah because the Messiah hadn't come, and they continued to wait. And they, as a couple, had to feel hopeless as they advanced in years and they had no children. But while they couldn't see it, God was still at work. You know, a couple weeks ago, we sang the song Waymaker. You may be familiar with the song. And it shares a little bit, and part of the bridge to the song says this, that while we don't see it, he's working. And while we may not feel it, he's working. Why? Because he's the waymaker, the miracle worker. He's the promise keeper. He's the light in the darkness. God is at work. And you may be here this morning and you may be discouraged and you say, "You know, I'm striving to follow God, but he seems so distant." God is still working. He never stops working. And so we can celebrate in the Christmas story, seeing that no matter what's going on in our lives and what's going on in the world around us, we can be confident that God is faithful and he's at work. I'm amazed at the names of Zacharias and Elizabeth and the meaning of those names. We see each of those names have some powerful meaning. Zacharias means God has remembered. The nation of Israel, wondering when this Messiah would come as they were in bondage and now under the domination of the Romans here in Luke chapter 1, but God has remembered, just like Zacharias' name teaches us. Elizabeth's name means, my God is an oath. The idea of that he is faithful to keep his promises. And just as in the life of Zacharias and Elizabeth, and just as in the promises of the prophecies of the Old Testament, God was faithful to keep his promise, and God is faithful in his promises to us. And we can cling to the knowledge and to the confidence that God is a faithful God. We can place our eternity in him as we ask him to forgive our sins and to be our Savior, to save us from eternal judgment, eternal separation from God, and promises us a home in heaven. We can also pray, we can also place our daily life and needs in his hands, because he is our protector and our provider. And so as we journey into this Christmas season, be reminded, as Zacharias and Elizabeth were reminded, that God is at work. He's at work in our world, and he's at work in our life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you are at work, and we can have hope in you. Lord, help us to be faithful and obedient to Zacharias and Elizabeth. Lord, help us to trust you, knowing that you are a faithful God. You are a God who keeps your promises. You are a God who provides us hope and a future in you. Lord, help us not to be distracted in this Christmas season, but as we journey through this year, help us to look to you and trust you in everything. In Jesus' name.